Leafs game night. Jim Tatney, Greg Gilbert in studio. Going to have Joe Bowen join us shortly. A couple of observations. If you want to know what a Hall of Famer does 2 days before he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, well, he works an extra hour, and that's what Bonesy's going to do. And if you want to know how you get into the Hall of Fame, you must sound like this.
Here we go. Leafs win the draw. Panuff plays it deep into the corner. Matt Patton centers in front. They score! Mikhail Grabowski!
To Cabaret. Takes the shot. Goes wide. Still has it. Centered in front. They score! Matt Sundin! Holy mackerel!
Here's Matthews with Nylander. Two on one. Back to Matthews. He scores! Austin Matthews! Four goals! Do you believe this? The goal is scores! Matty Stajan! Another shot! Scores! A ring shot! Jake Gardner deflected by Connor Brown. The little leprechaun has found a pot of gold.
Back in front. Oh, he's not going to run a save by Eddie Belfour.
As in comes Hextall to grab Potvin. Now Potvin, Hextall are fighting. Off comes Potvin's helmet. Hextall throwing punches at Potvin. Felix throwing an uppercut. Lands on Hextall right on the butt. They're railing away at one another.
Oh!
Hextall splatters up. That's a fine. Here's another throwing punch. Hextall with an uppercut. Felix throwing right and left. The pileup is underneath, but the main event is the goaltender.
Leafs get it again. Matthews to center. Into the net. He scores! Holy mackerel! They're going to the playoffs.
Centering pass. Scores! Scores! Tyler Bolzac!
Gilmore cutting right in a goal. Backhand scores!
Boyle back of the goal. A shot. Scores! Scores! Are you kidding me? Kapanen slaps it home. What a brilliant pass from Brian Boyle. And the Leafs win it in overtime.
Lafave gets an uppercut. Down goes Brown!
The Leafs grab the puck and are dancing out of their own end. Joe, we don't need you anymore. I'm just kidding. You're on, kid.
Ty Domi, a breakaway. Hit a goal. Deep shoot. Score!
Loose puck is run down. Is everybody leaving? Score! They score! They score with 28.8 seconds left. The Leafs will tie the game. Don't tell me about heart and dedication and resilience. This is unbelievable.
Oh, he was hit by Gilmore.
Cut pass. Owen Nolan scores. Owen Nolan wins it in overtime.
Bob can't get a shot. 6 seconds left. McGillney along the boards doesn't get it out. Back to the point. A shot blocked. Another shot. Redden blocked. Another chance. Game over. Game over. Bless you, boys. What a game. Unbelievable. In our very small way of being a part of this team, I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
Now, if you could sound like that, you could get in the Hall of Fame. But I have to tell you, there's only one person on this planet that sounds like that, and he is Joe Bowen. Bonesy, welcome. Congratulations.
God. Thank you, Jimmy. Can you imagine if there was another? My God. Talk about the poster boy for Valium. Didn't we just have an ordinary in and out, get it in the zone and back up? All of these goals. I think you got every damn goal I've called.
Wow. And so I guess the obligatory question would be, of all of that stuff, which one tingled the spine the most?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of the important goals in the playoffs and the resilience of that team, the bless you boys call, when there were so many people injured and they were literally throwing themselves in front of pucks to protect Curtis Joseph. I mean, that was as memorable a night. And then, of course, they came back to Toronto and won the series. So that's something that I'll never forget. I'll never forget the Felix Potvin fight. I had no idea Felix could fight. And I'm pretty sure Ron Hextall had no idea Felix could fight either, because he came down there. He looked like he was all full of pee and vinegar, and all of a sudden he got wailed on. So you know what? I know Greg will agree. I missed the fighting in the National Hockey League only because I was never in one. And having said that, I mean, that was a large part of this sport, certainly up until, you know, just a scant few years ago. I mean, Colton Orr and Fraser, the Leafs team with Randy Carlyle, was one of the toughest teams in the league, and that was a big part of the sport, and that's gone. And so that aspect of it is gone, and I kind of cut my teeth a little bit while I was out in Nova Scotia, and Jimmy, you'll remember these, when there was a lot of boxing, and we did, yeah. I did Ralph Hollett's, a number of Ralph Hollett's fights. I did Trevor Burbick's heavyweight championship fight with Larry Holmes, and the last fight that Muhammad Ali ever had was against Trevor Burbick down in Nassau in the Bahamas, and I got to call that, so I enjoy calling a fight. I'm just glad I'm not in one, and I'm glad that kids don't have to kind of go through that on their way up in this game as often as what they may have had to do it in past years.
Well, Joe, I gotta tell you, the one that brought the tears to my eyes was the one you were just talking about. I have never heard a better play-by-play of a goalie punch-up in my life. And that was freaking awesome.
Well, then we had, I can think of one other. Two other, I guess. But the one was when Sean Burke was with the New Jersey Devils, and poor Mark LaForest came down and got it, and he just got wailed on. And every time I see Trees, I said, you know, Trees, you didn't make the Hall of Fame as a goalie, and you sure weren't going to make the Hall of Fame as a boxer. You should have stayed in the crease where it was a lot safer. But there aren't many of those. But when they arrive, they're usually the main event of whatever else happens to be going on the ice, because those guys with the big pillows on, some of them can actually throw punches, and certainly Ron Hextall, his eyes rolled in the back of his head a number of times, and not the least of which is when he decided he was going to take the gloves off.
Well, you've been at this for a few years, so take us back to some of the weirdo locations you may have broadcast from that no longer exist, and some of your former partners.
Well, oh boy, Jimmy. I mean, my favorite building of all time and always will be the stadium in Chicago. And you had to walk 97 stairs up a rotating stairwell to get to the upper concourse. Then you walked along it, then you went up another 10 or 15 stairs, then you went out a catwalk, and then you went down 10 stairs into a suspended gondola. And it was a great view. But it was held by tie rods, I guess, and when they started roaring and the anthem started going, that thing was like a tuning fork, and you could feel it vibrating, and you'd keep looking up to the ceiling, make sure that the bolts were holding up, because I had Wilbur in there, and he was a tad bit overweight at the time. Well, he's always been a tad bit overweight at the time. But anyway, I remember doing a playoff series against San Jose, and we were in the corner of the rink, and so for two periods, we had the San Jose Sharks coming straight at us, which made it a little bit difficult to see numbers a lot. We've done games from ice level. Gord Stellick and I did a game in Wembley Arena when the Leafs went over to London, England to play the Rangers in the prestigious French's Mustard Cup. Not really sure where that trophy is. I know they presented it. But anyway, the Rangers won the Stanley Cup that year, so maybe it's in their trophy case. But we were sitting right behind the Leaf bench. The engineer from the BBC came up to us and said, I don't know where you want to do the commentary from, so I've put you right behind the bench. And we thought, well, that's very nice of you. We'll do that. So we were passing Pat Burns' line combinations that we wanted to see. And then during one of the intermissions, a Brit came up to me while Gordy was doing the intermission interview, and I was asked the greatest question I've ever been asked pertaining to hockey. The gentleman came up to me and he said to me, excuse me, it's my first game. Is it a good one? You know what? That's a hell of a damn question. I said, you know what? It's an exhibition game, and yeah, it's not bad. It's okay. It's great. But I mean, we've had some great venues to go to. Unfortunately, with the growth of this game and the growth of the sport, they want bigger buildings and more private boxes. And so now We get places like Dallas where the game is a rumor from where we're doing it from. And the absolute worst, and it's an embarrassment to anybody who's in Canada, I think, is in Edmonton. The brand new facility there, but where they have put our broadcast position anyway and the other radio guys and the TV guys to start, and then they finally talk their way down into a little bit lower position, is in another area code somewhere. So lots of different spots. I've had great people to work with. Jimmy Ralph for 21 years. He's never missed a game. Just been a great great travel mate. We've had lots of fun together over the years. We've had some lean years, and we've had some good runs. Bill Waters, Harry Neal. I worked with Scotty Bowman and Jim Paplinski and all kinds of different people as well throughout the course of the season and the course of the years, and it's been a real treat. And all of them have been really great hockey people, but really great people and a lot of fun to be around with great senses of humor.
Well, Joe, I got to tell you, as players, we almost had the same number of stairs to climb to get to the ice in Chicago Stadium, too.
Yeah, so, and if you tore your knee, you had just as many to go down.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine being hurt, being dragged. They probably just put you on your bum and they bumped you down the stairs, dragging you by the feet.
We came off the ice one night. This is just a quick story. We came off the ice one night. It wasn't a good game. Eddie Belfour was our goalie. And Eddie was so sour, he missed the first step and slid down all the way to the bottom. Broke his stick, started swearing, and the rest of us were kind of just staying at the top going, okay, we'll just let him. Yeah. But what I want to ask you, Joe, is what amazes me about you and the passion that you call every play with is how do you keep your voice going? I mean, night after, like, you're going back to back tonight.
How many kids have you got, Greg?
Three.
How many kids have you got?
Three.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are they well-behaved?
Well, they're older now.
For the most part?
They're older now.
I've got four boys. Kids.
Yeah.
I have four boys, and they were always rambunctious, and they were whatever. So in the off season, I got lots of work out with them. I coach baseball, and that means coaching third base and yelling at guys to come around and try and score. And I don't know. I early on when I came to Toronto, I had a bit of an issue with my voice, and I went, and for the life of me, and I'm embarrassed to say this, I can't remember the young lady's name, but she was a voice coach. And she said, Joe, you've got to learn to breathe. And it really is that. It's a breathing from your diaphragm and not from your chest and your neck and your vocal cords. And so she said, you are like an opera singer. You have to sing from your diaphragm. And that way you don't strain your larynx and strain your vocal cords and everything else. And it's been wonderful. Tip, and I've worked at it early on, and at this point, every once in a while, you know, and we get into the playoff series, I realize I don't have the full range. The volume's always there, but I don't have the full range, maybe, of my voice. But for most part, it's hung in there, and I suppose when that starts to go, it'll be time to hang them up.
Bonesy, stay right where you are. Bill Waters will join us next.
I can't go anywhere. Yeah. We're doing the damn game here, well, for crying out loud.
You know that I would say
well,
something
I know
like that.
Yes. Well, you got Uncle Wilbur coming on?
Wilbur is next.
Oh, no.
This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca. Leafs Game Night, Jim Taddy, Greg Gilbert in studio paying tribute to Joe Bowen, who is standing by with us at the TD Boston Garden as the Leafs get set to take on the Boston Bruins. It's ex-sidekick time. Let's bring in Bill Waters, former Leafs assistant general manager, former partner of Mr. Bowen. Bill, how are you today, sir?
I'm extraordinarily well. Thanks, Jimmy. And it seems like it was only yesterday I was talking to you and Greg.
Well, and because it was. Bonesy is here.
He's
so
pretty astute, isn't he? Oh, I'll tell you can't pull the wool over Wilbur's eyes.
I'll try not to get in your way, so you guys just go at it.
Hey, Bonesy, congratulations.
Thank you, Wilbur. I appreciate that very, very much. I know we've been friends for a very, very long time, and it means a great deal to me to call you friend and to be a part of all of this and to have all of you guys be a part of it as well, because I'm not going in there if we didn't have as much fun together doing games when we were calling them back then, and with people like Jimmy Ralph and yourself and Harry Neal, you guys have been a key to it all.
Well, we had a great time, Joe. I was thinking as I prepared, because I do prepare for both Greg and Jim extensively.
I understand.
And I thought, what can I present to Bonesy that may be skill testing for him? So I suggested to myself, I said, self, why don't I ask Bonesy what was the most prestigious award you and I received as a duo?
Oh. Now you've got me thinking here, Wilbur. What was that?
Well, it was for a Valentine's.
Yes! Oh, how could I possibly forget that? Wilbur and I were the Page 3 Valentine boys of the Toronto Sun. How could I possibly have forgotten that?
I was flabbergasted at that, and I thank Christy Blatchford from the bottom of my heart, because you know what, Joe? I thought, geez, we must be pretty cool, Bonesy and I.
I guess we were.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, exactly. Oh, no. Who finished second in that ballot? I don't recall, Wilbur.
I don't know. I know it was you that initiated the call to her, but I tried to convince her that we would be a good duo. I think the second prize, Joe, for things that we did with great aplomb and were well-received by our friends, was when we were out west on a broadcasting tour, selling books at all, and we decided that we were going to win the lottery. And so we told all of our friends, that's the scribes, whether it was Matt, Sue, or the late Jim Christie, Jim's still living, that RF, Rick Fraser, wonderful guys. Yep. So we told them we were going to win, and the only thing we had to do was settle with the wives. We couldn't tell them, but we had to pay them off because we knew they'd find out.
We were also going to rent the Canadian, as I recall, Wilbur, and drive all of those guys by train through the Rockies to Vancouver,
right,
where we were going to pick up our ultimate prize.
That's right. We had to go to Vancouver to get it.
And the numbers that we selected.
The one thing that I can say, Joe, without any equivocation, is there was a 5 or 6 year span when I worked with you where I could say that I don't think I had more fun anywhere than you and I had, whether it was us negotiating for the room that we shared. Times were tough then, Gibby.
Yes, they were.
Gibby?
Can I tell a story?
I didn't have my own room.
St. Louis negotiating for a split rate on the room when the full rate was 19 bones.
let me tell a story about Wilbur, because we did share a room. And there were no cell phones then, Gibby and Jimmy. And so Wilbur was still one of the, was the preeminent.
Come on.
He was the preeminent agent in the National Hockey League. And so whenever the phone would ring, I knew it had nothing to do with me. It was always Wilbur who was one of his clients or whatever. So about 3 in the morning one night, I think we were in St. Louis, the phone rings, and Wilbur picks the phone up, and it was like Bob Newhart's one-sided telephone conversation skits. And all I heard was, nope, you're right. You're right. I don't know why you're not on the power play. I agree. That coach doesn't know nothing. You're right. I'm phoning that SOB tomorrow, and we're going to get to the bottom of this, why you are not on the number one power play unit. Click.
That was probably
Bonesy,
me. That was Bonesy, probably me calling.
Yeah, probably was. Just Bonesy, that guy shouldn't be in the American Hockey League. Now he wants to play with Mario Lemieux.
Bones, that was probably me calling, Bill.
It probably was. But I could see how he was soothing the feathers at 3 in the morning just to make sure that that small stipend had to arrive on his desk the next month.
Well, in fact, Bonesy, you couldn't answer it because of the your dinner.
Oh, Wilbur, that was too many laughs and too much fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember.
Now, can I tell the other Wilbur story I have? Wilbur brought had a brand new coat that he got in Chicago. Yeah. And we got into the game, and at the end of the game, it was a winter night, and we are walking, and as I mentioned, the 97 stairs to go up. Well, you had to go down 97 stairs. But right at the start of the stairwell, there was a washroom there, and there was a concession stand. And
right along the length of the arena, Joe, in Chicago.
That's right. But at the end of the game, there was more water flowing out of the washroom than what had gone in during the game. And some poor kid who had to lug everything up to the concession stand had dropped a mason jar of relish. And unfortunately, my man Wilbur missed that, and he slipped on the top step, and down he goes, 15 stairs to the next landing. Well, that poor coat is now ripped because of the glass from the thing. He's got relish in his locker mists and his the rest of them. And I thought my friend would, God, he might be dead. And then I heard, blah, 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 and then I started laughing. I said, Wilbur, if you'd have hit the wall, you could have luged all the way down the 97 stairs and got down lickety-split.
No, if I was on a luge, I would have gone right out the front door.
All right, guys. Wilbur, thanks very much. Really appreciate it.
No problem. I'll do anything for Bonesy and Gibby and Jimmy. You know that. Just say goodnight to Louie.
yes, Guy.
Good luck, Joe. Have a nice day on Monday.
Thank you, Wilbur. It's a real treat talking to you. Love you.
Coming up next, Paul Hendrick from Leafs Nation Network, and he's got some Bonesy remembering to do as well. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca.
This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Oh, yes,
Jim
they
Taddy,
do.
Jim Greg Gilbert with you. I want to congratulate Joe Bowen on his Foster Hewitt Award and his entrance into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Joe, you and I go back to the Halifax situation, the Nova Scotia Voyagers. I saw you become the voice of the V's, and there you go, into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Joe, yeah, I said it to you before you left tonight, but it's amazing calling over 3,000 games for the Leaf organization and the excitement you bring to the game. And I know there's been a lot of tough nights, and you're first one to admit it, but just the excitement you bring to the people that listen and to the game itself. And everybody's so proud of you. Congratulations. Hard-earned award. But you're one of the best in the business, no question.
Hey, Joe. Carlo Colaiacovo here. Congrats on receiving the Foster Hewitt Award. My greatest memory is you calling my first NHL goal. You're my greatest memory. You're the Maple Leafs' greatest memory. All the best to you, my friend.
Hey, Bonesy. It's your girl, Andrea. Andy Petrillo, you have been a great mentor and friend since day one when I started covering the National Hockey League. This is so well-deserved. Congratulations on your induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Leafs game night. Jim Taddy, Greg Gilbert in studio. Joe Bowen standing by at the TD Boston Garden. And just for Bonesy, here come the V's. Paul Hendrick is also here from Leafs Nation Network. Henny, how are you, sir?
Thank you. Just putting up with Joe. It's going to be tough getting into the hall. That head's gotten a little bigger the last week.
Is there room for you in the booth?
We're barely squeezed in here.
Ralphie was saying last night it was getting a little tight.
Yeah, we've got a real problem with that.
You know, I'm looking at Joe, and I'm thinking back over the 20-plus years that I've been able to work alongside him, and I remember we were doing a game at Joe Louis Arena, and I'm interviewing Red Berenson, and Harry and Joe, you can hear them in the background. Red thought I was Scott Russell through the whole interview. And he said, thanks, Scott, and Scott this, and you're right, Scott. And I kept going, and all I could, of course, Red can't hear them, right? But I can hear them, and I didn't have the courage or guts just to finish
well,
the interview.
It was Red Berenson.
I know. But he thought I was Scott Russell. I'll take that.
Yeah. Between that and interviewing Rennie Radcor, this is a famous building for you.
It is. It's a good building. You know, we're a Remembrance Day weekend. I remember a time, Joe, many years ago, we had the veterans there, and one of the veterans who had fought and flown, a plane overseas, and boy, oh boy, he wanted to get into every sortie that went on, and the game's going on, and there were pucks going off crossbars and goalposts, and this gentleman was just, you know, obviously very focused on
Mike Crush
telling his story, and yep. He managed to get the story in, and there might have been a couple of goals scored, but we kept straight faces and respect and all through it.
We moved right through it, and you're right. I think we missed two goals, but we did get the full story, and it was that was an interesting night for sure.
Yeah.
Henny, the book, Traveling with Bonesy, when does it come out?
As soon as I get it colored.
There's some fine restaurants here in Boston that we're trying to get some gift certificates to kind of put in the back to help with the sales of it, I think.
You know what's been interesting in just the past few weeks, and we won't get into the particular story, but as our kids have gotten older, Joe's kids have been on a few road trips, obviously. Sean with the team for one particular year, but my son Michael came on board a couple of weeks ago in Washington. My daughter Caroline's been around for a few trips, and they're young adults now, and they share in the adult humor.
For the lack of a better term, they get us.
They do.
I'll tell you what, we have a group with Nicole Burns and Henny and Ralphie. Thanks to Lou Lamorello, we're no longer on the charter, so we have to kind of fend for ourselves, and we have orchestrated what we call ourselves the Seinfeld group. And we're just exactly like that group on TV. And you're talking to Jerry here, and I'm, of course, George. And then we have Ralphie's Kramer, and obviously Nicole.
Bye.
We literally, I think, could write a number of Seinfeld episodes from some of the things that have gone on through the course of our travel together, and we get each other, and that's really dangerous. Yeah. Because we don't even have to look at one another before we know what the next one-liner is coming out.
Well, Gibby and Jimmy, I know when the season is over, I am literally, I say, 3 weeks having to go into travel detox when having been with these guys. Things that naturally come out of my mouth during the regular season that won't...
Some people don't get us.
My wife included.
Did he say you were George?
No, I'm George.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I'm having the summer of George.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Man. It's been a real privilege, guys, as you know, and just to get an opportunity to work in this business. And especially with a group for a quarter century, we know each other well. And I remember my son Michael in Washington restaurant, Joe just prefaced it. Michael, I know more about you than you may know about yourself, because we share everything.
We do. Yeah. And that's
the special bond.
It's a sounding board. This is our, this is the casting couch, and, well, not the casting couch, but at least it's certainly the couch that we have to have our head shrunk on every once in a while, for sure.
Well, so the parenting book is coming out.
Well, yeah, that would be... I don't know about that. I'll have a word.
No comment.
No. I remember my son Michael. He was at Appleby College, and I'll get into. He got into a little bit of trouble, nothing major.
No, getting
a call from a teacher on a field trip up to Tomogamy, and why he was being sent home, and I was rattling down the list of potential things, and what it ended up being wasn't all that serious. But Bob McGill and Bonesy in the backseat of the cab, and they were just chuckling because they've had kids who've gone through the ranks, and mine were the next up.
The next up, and if that's the worst that's going to happen, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah, exactly. So we're a family on the road.
Yeah, we are. Absolutely.
And you know, closer to these guys than anybody else, obviously, besides my own family, but it's my second family, and it might be 1B. We share an awful lot, and peaks and joys and all that go with it, and the travails as well. And to watch Joe go in on Monday to see the tribute that was given to him last night, we feel like a part of us is going into the hall with him.
And I can't thank them enough for foregoing a day in Los Angeles with sunshine and drinks with umbrellas and all kinds of stuff. They're actually going to fly home with me tomorrow and go to the festivities on Monday. So I can't thank my second family enough.
Well, I got to ask you, coming from the player's side of it, you guys sound like you have fun in pretty much every city you go into.
No.
What?
Greg, we're very
what is
this?
We're not going down that road. We're going down the other road.
All right.
What city do you guys remember the most as having probably one of the
probably
better nights?
Probably not Boston.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Well, you know what? As bad as the Game 7, I will never, ever, ever forget the first Game 7 in here when the Bruins rallied in the third period. And the one thing that I will remember, and I dearly, dearly, dearly hope the Toronto Maple Leaf fans would respond in kind if it happened in the reverse, was the intermission between the third period and the overtime, when all they did here was play raucous sing-along music, and no one left the bowl. And I looked at Jimmy Ralph, who was sitting right next to me, and we couldn't hear ourselves talk without the headsets on. And I thought, boy, oh boy, the energy in this building, the Leafs are really up against it. And I really hope that had the thing been completely reversed, that Leaf fans would have responded the same way, because the fans in this building won that game.
Yeah, that was special to me, Joe, going to Montreal all the time.
Oh, yeah.
A Saturday night in Montreal with that building, those fans, they're respectful. They appreciate the rivalry that is. And for me, yeah, Boston's great, but Montreal might have to be my favorite city.
And the heartbreak of all of that, when Cliff arranged that the Leafs were going to move to the Eastern Conference, why were we doing it? To renew the rivalry with Montreal, and still haven't played them in a Stanley Cup playoff. Yeah.
The other thing I'll remember, and I wasn't at this game, and it was I was co-hosting the Children's Hospital Telethon at McMaster in Hamilton, Ottawa and Toronto. Toronto's in an elimination game, and this is where Rickard Person sends Domi crashing into the sideboards, and that call, along with the rest of the game on radio, to hear it was as exciting as anything that there will be. And it brought me up, you know, I think of Fred Scambatti and others listening to some of my favorite announcers growing up, and just the magic of radio and just how great it is when you've got to imagine what's going on, but it's been delivered to you by pros like Joe Bowen, Fred Scambatti, and I can go on and on. Dave Hodge back with CFRB calling the Argo games. Heroes to me growing up, but that night in particular, where the Leafs came out, they were the Phoenix rising from the ashes, and of course came back to win Game 7 to eliminate Ottawa again. That, to me, was your best game, and it's one I'll never forget, Joe.
Henny, thanks very much. Really appreciate you stopping by. Ralphie's going to bump you out of that seat, and we'll continue on. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca. Leafs Game Night, Jim Taddy, Greg Gilbert in the studio. Back to the TD Boston Garden. Bonesy still with us, and Jimmy Ralph joins us now. Ralphie, welcome in. How are you, sir?
Well, good, Jimmer. Not a lot different from 10 hours ago when I saw you last.
How'd you get there so fast?
they're called airplanes.
The transporter tube really gets a workout, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I have to ask this question. Do you guys get along?
Well, you know what? 21 years, and it's a marriage. You know, you have ups and downs, and you know, some guys get awards, and the other guy gets jealous because he thought he should have got it. So yeah, you know, you have those moments. You got to work through. So, somebody's got to be the bigger person.
I just knew that would break out there.
Just a minute. I'm not a two-time OHL All-Star.
No,
let's not bring up all of the accolades that are on your plate.
I think that's it.
Wow, and two lines are better than none.
I stopped Gibby in a breakaway. Well, in 81.
Oh, that put you over the top for the award, was it? Well, that wasn't hard to do.
Wasn't that when your stick broke, Gibby? Yeah.
Yep.
So, Ralphie, what's it like working with this guy?
It's here's the strange thing about it is, you know, even I know the Bless You Boys call that became an iconic call, but at the time, you know, we're working together. We're beside each other. We're watching the same thing. We're playing off each other. But I don't get a real appreciation for what Bonesy does until I drive home after a game and I listen to the audio highlights. And I'm not being smart, but when I can hear it like a fan does for the first time, and I've sat there driving home going, that's an unbelievable call. I mean, I was 3 feet from him when he did it. But now, and then in this, you know, scenario, I can appreciate it more. So it when you say what it's like working with him, it's almost, I mean, we've done it long enough that I think the thing we always wanted to sort of portray was that we have fun at what we're doing. We do have the greatest jobs in hockey, but we love it. We have fun. But to appreciate Joe the most, to be honest, is listening to the audio highlights after when I'm detached from it. And I can sit there and say that call's right up there with Danny Gallivan and Bob Cole.
All of these years that I knew, you never paid attention.
What?
It sounds like you. I mean, I listen to the broadcast. It sounds like you're detached at the time.
You know, the one thing, too, I don't mean this to take away from what Jim does, because he's obviously a great hockey mind. And
I don't like where this is going.
No, but we are like Abbott and Costello or one of the great old comedy acts, because we'll look at one another and know exactly what's coming out of each other's mouth and how this is being set up. And here's the volleyball. Now you spike it. And I mean, he's got such a great sense of humor. That we have, I mean, God bless this franchise, but there haven't been Rembrandts every night. There have been a lot of very ugly nights where we thought, you know what, if we're on the air for 2.5 hours, we'd better entertain people and have fun doing it. And I think Jim has been such a huge part of that with his knowledge of the game, his ability to dissect the game when it's going on, why goals are scored, who made mistakes, why, what was the reason for it, and yet still have a wonderful sense of humor to enjoy, because there are a lot of funny things that happen in this game, and sometimes I think other broadcast teams may overlook that, but we sure don't. I know that for sure.
But I think the other part, too, is Bonesy. I mean, we had an 11-year stretch with a team.
I don't remember that.
Most of the year, that they're out of it in February.
Yep.
I mean, you're 22 points out of a playoff spot. And I remember we did a game in New York, and the Leafs were down 6-0 early in the second period. They were 20 points out of a playoff spot. And I remember thinking, we cannot, if there's anybody listening, we cannot try to sell the Toronto audience on how big the next faceoff is. You know, so I think there was, you know, because of that stretch, and things have been so bad for a long stretch, and sometimes right out of the gate, that you had to, I don't want to say reinvent, but you had to approach it differently. You know, God bless baseball announcers that seem to be able to slide through, you know, be eliminated in July, and you got, 84 games to go, and you still act like everything's the biggest, you know, the biggest moments in pro sports. But for us, I think that was the stretch where, not to reinvent ourselves, but we had to approach it in a certain way that hopefully people would still listen, despite the fact that the product wasn't very good.
Well, you found a way. I mean, you guys are entertaining, and again, Bonesy, congratulations from all of us here at TSN 1050.
Oh, thank you very much, guys. This is talk about overkill, but I really do appreciate it. The one thing that I have really enjoyed is people reaching out through social media, emails, and everything else. People that I haven't seen in a long time, people that I went to high school with, that are reaching out and because of all of this, and it's very overwhelming and very humbling. And I'm very much looking forward to Monday. It'll be a lot of fun, and I'm glad that my four boys will be along to enjoy it with me, and looking forward to it.
Hey, and I wanted to say one thing, Jim. I know you got a heart out. How great it was for TSN to carry the first commercial break last night. It was very classy.
In spite of the guy that did the voiceover, couldn't they have found a professional announcer?
Well, that's why I said I thought it was great that they did it.
Okay, we're all set for a great night ahead. Thanks a lot, guys, and congratulations again, Joe.
Thanks, buddy.
Congrats, Joe.
Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph reporting to us live from the TD Boston Garden. We're going to step out so we can line things up for our network stations that are joining us very soon as the Leafs get set to take on the Bruins in Boston. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN 1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps.